I believe.
Yes.
We had some folks, man, a whole lot of birthdays this month. And then we had one anniversary. In the month of October, I got all kind of anniversaries. On the 5th of October of 1987, I started on Christian radio. I think that was 30, however many years ago, 36, 37 years ago. And I'm still at it, but just on the one internet station now. At one time, I was on 20-plus stations. Started in a little old 500-watt station up in Kannapolis, WRKB. Dr. Gary Price and Gary Stiles, John Stiles, were part owned that station at that time. Gary got me started. And so then on the 10th of October of 1982, I was ordained into the gospel ministry. I was already in ministry, but I wasn't ordained until then. And then on the 13th of October of 1775, y'all remember that? The United States Navy was born. Y'all know 1 month later, on the 10th of November, after we just had the Navy for a little less than a month, we thought we're going to need somebody to open and shut the gate. We're going to need to start something called the Marine Corps. And then on the 19th of October of 81, a couple of days before that, I had realized that the Lord said to me, you've been teaching, but you need to understand you're called into the office of a teacher. And so on the 19th at a Full Gospel Business Men's Prayer Breakfast, Trapman's Barbecue, and if you go into the big back room, just the first part of that was all the back room they had then. I announced that to folks and said, I accept the calling God put on my life. And a lady, Sister Calda Santos, said, the Lord just gave me a word for you. And she said, now it's scripture, but it's also a prophetic word for you. Jeremiah 5:14, because you speak this word, my word in your mouth will be as fire and the people as wood, and it will devour them. And without knowing that there was an anniversary of that coming up, my pastor on the phone yesterday reminded me of that. He said, when you go tomorrow, God's word in your mouth is going to be as fire, and that's God's word in anybody's mouth ought to be fire. So we're going to hear something that's going to change us today, every one of us. And then on October the 20th, long time ago, Miss Wanda Balcom was born. And she was to be my wife 77 years later. I was going to marry her. It took her a while. Took her a while to make up her mind. So at any rate, I just wanted to let y'all know that we got a lot of stuff going on, all of us. Amen. All righty. We're going to get into the Word of God. And I'll let you know different points. I'm trying to think of how to start this. The message is the greatest things I've learned about faith. Greatest thing I've learned about faith. And as I do this, I'm not going to only teach that, and I think you're going to get a blessing out of it because the Lord gave me the message. But I'm also going to show on the screen some training aids that show how I got the information I got, so you can also learn how to study your Bible as we're going through this thing if you want to dig deeper into some things of the Word of God. And I'll be using an app I have on my phone and my iPad. It's called Bible Hub, Bible and HUB, and it's an app in the App Store. Or you can just Google Bible Hub.com and you can find it that way. It's a really good source. It's got all kind of translations, and one of the translations I really like and use a lot in it is the interlinear Greek and English and the interlinear Greek and Hebrew. And it'll tell you things just like when you get go from the Greek to the English, and you can look at some little things down there, and it'll tell you if it's a verb, what kind of verb it is. Is it past, present, future, happening now, I'm going to continue? A whole lot of information in that app. And then we'll look a little bit of things out of my favorite Bible dictionary, W.E. Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words. So let you know about that, and when they're on the screen, you can look at them, and I will talk about them. So, and I'll introduce this too, since it's the greatest thing I learned about faith. I know we're faith people. This is a church. Our name is Faith, Word of Faith Worship Center. You might hear me saying some things, and you're thinking, wait a minute. Well, listen, I'm a faith preacher, so don't get nervous. It'll come out all right. So let's start out by looking at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, and look at there, it's already on the screen, at least in the back. And you know this scripture. It says, for by grace you shall be saved through faith. So that tells me, just going that far, that we get saved by something. Grace is the power of God that will save you. Grace is the power of God that will equip you to live a different kind of life. Anybody that thinks they got grace, which just in their mind just means the forgiveness of sin, and haven't used that grace to change their life, that's what the new birth is. I once was this old fella over here, but he died and we buried him in the waters of baptism. And now I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, and I ain't that like that old guy anymore. Because what changed me? The grace of God changed me. It's power. Enough power to save you. But it says that grace that saves us, that power that saves us, we have to receive it, and it comes through something called faith. That's the only door that will open up and let the grace of God get in your life is faith. And what is faith? Faith is really just trust in God. God said it, I believe it. He said, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and I like to put that more in light of what it really means. If you will confess the Lordship of Jesus Christ, not just mumble the words, and to confess, you can't confess something unless it's true. I could confess to you that I robbed the 7-Eleven store last night. But I can't, I could say that to you, but I can't confess it because I didn't do it. So somebody can say out of their mouth, I believe Jesus is Lord, but if they hadn't confessed him as Lord, that's what that's about. I confess him as Lord. Didn't even say confess your sins. He knows all about that. Confess the Lordship of Jesus Christ and something else at the same time. What? Believe in my heart, that's called faith, that God has raised him from the dead. The Bible says you shall be saved. When we get to the end of this message, I'll try to remember to give folks the opportunity to make that decision. So, but then let me go on and read a little bit more. And by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Faith is a gift. Say to somebody next to you, faith is a gift. All right. And you know, when you get a gift, and where does that gift of faith come from, by the way? Who gives us the gift? It's a gift of God. So when we exchange gifts, and you know, Reed and Tammy had an anniversary. I hope you got her something. Oh, it's the 17th. You got warned. And you know, if it's something nice, you might put it in a nice looking little box, and you tie a ribbon around it, and you'll put a little tag on there. But probably in their case, you don't have to put the tag on there. But from somebody and to somebody. From Reed to Tammy. Well, God gave us a little old box. But you know what? Tammy's going to be excited about that when she sees it. And she's going to know whatever in here is good. Well, how do you know it's good? Because I know who gave it to me. I know he loves me. I know he don't have no bad. He's not going to put a snake in his box. He loves me, and I know whatever he gives me is going to be good. But then there's a couple steps to that. She's going to have to open the box. And if it's something in there that maybe something that little thing that does something, don't give her no kitchen appliances, though. I found out about that. You know, men like to get tools. I gave my wife a hoe one year for Mother's Day because she had seen a little old hoe with a small hoe. She said, I'd love to have a little hoe like that. I've tied a ribbon on it and everything, and I found out that wasn't what she really wanted. But if it's something, sometimes we get a gift and it's got instructions with it. Well, the gift from God is faith. And if you've got a Bible, it's full of instructions how to get that faith to operate. Just because you got the gift don't mean you know what to do with it, and don't mean you're going to plan on doing something with it. So faith is a gift. We're going to keep that in mind. Now let's look in Mark chapter 11. And we're going to look at verse 23 and verse 24, and y'all are familiar with that. And it says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever, every whosoever, raise your hand. Look at there, we got a bunch of whosoever's just talking to us. And whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith. Don't you love that scripture? Speak to your mountain, and we know it's like it don't have to be a physical mountain. It can be a mountain of a problem, it seems like. Just speak to that thing, the Bible says, in faith, and it's going to go away. And then verse 24 says, therefore, because of this principle of believing and speaking, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire. Ain't that wonderful? Whatever you desire, And I believe that you receive them, and you'll have them. All right, them two wonderful promises, we love them. Now, I'm going to ask you to be honest just a minute. Because if you look around, all your neighbors are guilty of what you're guilty of. I want you to raise your hand. How many have ever spoken to the mountain and it didn't move? All right, how many ever prayed for what you desired and it didn't show up? All right. And you know, there's another scripture, and I'm not going to put this, I didn't give her this scripture. We don't need it. But in Job, there's a scripture that says, declare a thing and it shall be established unto you. How many have ever declared something and it didn't get established? All right. Well, something's going on here because we know the Bible works. Now, I'll just tell you that about that Job scripture. One key to that is, before I give you what the key is, but there's principles in the Bible that deal with speaking to things and declaring things and so forth. But the way this one is worded, we just declare a thing and it's established. In the book of Job, there was the fellow that said that was one of Job's three friends named Eliphaz. His name meant God is dispenser. His whole theology was, well, I just do something and God gives me something. And it also meant, if you look in who wrote this book, Mr. whatever his name is, I got a book about Bible names, the meaning of Bible names. And his name means God is dispenser. It also means God of gold. And I thought, well, man, that sounds wonderful, God of gold. And then I realized if I got a God made out of gold, that's an idol. And he's the guy that said that, declare a thing that shall be established. So see, everything in the Bible is true that it's in the Bible. It's true that somebody said it, but that don't make it truth if it's somebody that in the book of God, the end of the book, God said they didn't know what they was talking about. I'm just helping us understand things in the Bible, okay? So, back up to verse 23 just a minute, Kelsey. It's great. They have a good team here. And it says, I say, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Now, I don't know if y'all are looking in your Bibles. We've got a lot of people got out of the habit of doing that. Does anybody's Bible say, anybody that speaks to any mountain? No, it says this mountain. Well, I looked that up and what that word this meant. And this means, it says it is the definite article. It's talking about a specific mountain. Jesus was in a certain place at a certain time when he said, if you say to this mountain, now even if we're talking about a mountain of a problem, This mountain is the mountain that God has given you a promise about right now. So when you're dealing with a certain situation, you know, mountains can be good or mountains can be bad. I like to go to the mountains. One reason is you get up high and the air is better up there, and you got a good view and you can see things way over yonder that you couldn't see before. And so sometimes that mountain in front of you that you think is such a problem is one that God put there so that you can climb it and get up to a higher elevation in your life. Sometimes we need to work through some things to get to where God wants us to be. He don't want you moving every problem out of the way just immediately. He don't want you telling the mountains to go everywhere. Well, in fact, if so that you speak to any old mountain and it'll move. If we had a mountain right here in the center aisle and these folks over here was telling it to go that way and these folks over here telling it to go that way, what's the mountain going to do? It's going to stay right where it is. So sometimes we take things and we kind of get them a little confused. Now, here's the greatest thing I learned about faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, what I'm going to do now, we're going to go, I want to know a little bit more about that. So I'm going to go in my Bible Hub app, and we're going to go and look at that scripture in the interlinear Greek and English, and I hope it's big enough on that's number one. And I hope it comes up here and it's big enough we can see what it says. Oh, me. That's not very big, is it? Well, you know, on my computer, I can just spread it out. But I'll tell you about it. When we look at that scripture in Romans 10, 17, in the interlinear Greek and English, so if you can't see it there, but we're going to have some that we focus in on a little bit. Across the top line up there, you got some numbers, which is the numbers in the Strong's Concordance for the word. And then you got the Greek word, you got it in Greek, which is symbols that looks like to us. But then it spells it out with our kind of letters to tell you what that Greek word is. I've been to a lot of countries in the world, and I believe that just about all of them, I could look at a street sign, and at least I could tell you what the name of the street was, if I wanted to tell the taxi driver. But when I went to Greece and I looked at this street sign, it had triangle, slash mark, doodle, whatever. I didn't know how to pronounce all them things. But anyway, and then underneath the Greek word, word by word, it gives you the English word for that. And I just will pull it up, and at least I can look at it and explain it to you a little better. Come on here. We're just doing a little Bible teaching here. And let's see. So what it says, it is translated out of the Greek into English one word at a time. So faith is from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But now, through the word of Christ, it says. That word of Christ, now go to the next, oh, you're already there, aren't you? Yeah, see. Go to the next, that number two. Is that it? We still can't see that. But when we expand it out, it says it's heard through the word of Christ, and the word for word is rhema, the root word, and rhema means something particular. There's two kind of things here for word in the Bible. One is logos. What logos, laying there on the pew with nobody home, is the logos. And logos is a good thing even when I read it out of my Bible. But do you know how you're reading along sometimes, and you're just reading, and it's all good, and all of a sudden, that one thing pops out and grabs you, and it's that got to do with that one problem you're dealing with right now, and you say, there it is. You just heard from God. That's a rhema word. So this thing says faith comes by hearing, and hearing that rhema word, and then in the Greek it says Christos, the rhema Christos. I've talked about that here before. That's the word of the anointed one. Or we could say the anointed word. And so that was number two, and then we go into number three. I don't know if there's any point putting them up there because I might have to read them to you anyway, but at least you know I'm getting, I got a source here somewhere that I'm getting all this from. And so I look up that word rhema, and this is in the Word Studies Helps from the Interlinear. And the word rhema, it means to speak. It's a spoken word by the living voice. And it says it's commonly used in the New Testament for the Lord speaking his dynamic living word in a believer to put faith in you. And then it quotes this scripture right here. And so then I'm gonna go to the next thing, and we're going to look at a little bit more about rhema. And it says, denotes that which is spoken, what is uttered in speech or writing. And then it says down here in the paragraph below that, the significance of rhema as distinct from logos is exemplified in the injunction to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that's out of Ephesians 6:17, part of the armor of God, right? Where the reference is not to the whole Bible as such, but to the individual scripture which the Spirit brings to our remembrance for use in time of need. So in other words, that's that word that comes back to you when you need that word. That's what rhema is. And I don't have to hear a voice. I know, you know what, God just called my attention to something. I'm going to tell you something. Yesterday, I came up here yesterday, one thing, because y'all know I've been fell and broke a couple of ribs, and I'm not getting around too good, but I'm way better thanks to prayer. Thank God for prayer. I'm way better. I came up here to see if I could climb up them steps and come over here to sit behind this pulpit yesterday. And so I was kind of struggling along, and I had called my pastor, Pastor Jackson, and he didn't take the call. It turned out they were in a movie, The Blind. The Blind is like the duck blind. I heard it. He said he gave it a wonderful report. But he called me back. And so when he reminded me of what the Lord said to me in 1981, my word in your mouth will be as fire in the people's wood and it'll devour them. That was a word I need to hear right now. Boom. They was, when I put out on Facebook that about falling and breaking ribs and banging, you know, at first, the first couple of days, these ribs hurt real bad, but when that starts slacking off, then you realize that everything on my whole side slammed into that concrete. It wasn't just my ribs hurting, it was just the worst thing. But I got a word from it, but when I put that out, and it was way over 100 people that commented that they were praying for me. And so that's a good side of Facebook right there. You can just put out something, man. But it's important who your friends are. But I had all them folks praying. I started getting better. And a couple of those folks told me what they were praying. And even everybody just let me know I'm praying. Or if they just put praying hands or if they just put a heart, that was a blessing. But a couple of them said something when I read it, that's it. I'll just tell you, one of them is Pastor Sam Crisp, retired from being the pastor at Kannapolis Church of God. I don't remember exactly what he said now, but when I read his, it's like, man, Superman, here I am. But anyway, so the significance of rhema, I've already read this to you, as distinct from logos, is exemplified in the injunction to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, Ephesians 6:17. Here the reference is not to the whole Bible, but to the individual scripture which the Spirit brings to our remembrance for use in time of need. And then here's the part I didn't read to you. A prerequisite being the regular storing of your mind with the scripture. You know, the Holy Spirit can't call anything to your remembrance that you didn't put in your remembrance. If ain't nothing home, nothing coming out. But you start storing that stuff in your mind. Marilyn Hickey said this years ago. She said, back when I was a girl growing up, and my mother did a lot of canning, she said, and she put up preserves. And she said, but you know, we didn't eat all those preserves right now. They put them in jars and sealed them, and we put them in the pantry back there. And she said, because during the season, we got fresh fruit. But she said, then when wintertime came and we popped the lid on one of them jars, oh, it was so good. And she said, that's the way it is with the Word of God. You've got to put it up for store when you're going to need it. So, any rate, that was number one, two, three, and four. So that's going to do that for that right now. It's even in the whole armor of God, when you take the sword of the Spirit, what's my sword? It's those scriptures that God pulls up out of your remembrance, or somebody speaks to you that day, or you open your Bible and there it is. I don't know how many people I've seen this happen to, but there was a young lady in our church years ago that got diagnosed with ovarian cancer, and the doctor told her, this is the worst case of this kind of cancer that I've seen in my 40 years of medical experience. Well, it just so happened that she had come from a denominational church over to where we were, and she started learning some stuff about faith and about how the Word of God works. And she said to the doctor, well, that's just a bigger miracle God can do. Amen. And she started, and she grabbed on a hold of that, and she got in her Bible, opened up her scripture, and just reading through the Bible, and went to a certain place just by we'll say accident. And she saw, and she didn't know this was in her Bible. She saw, you shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. That was her rhema. That was her sword. That was her sword to fight the devil with. God said to me, you'll not die, but you're going to live and declare the works of the Lord. And you know what? She did. And then I remember a young lady that my first wife, Jane, and I were in high school together in the same class. I mean, and she was in Jane's class, excuse me. Wanda was there in my class. And this girl and Jane were friends. And so after she was already grown, married, and she was about 40 and just started a second marriage, and she thought she was pregnant because things started looking like it. Well, then when she went to get checked, found out it was a big old tumor in there. It wasn't no baby. And so she was not in a church that taught you stuff about how to deal with something like that other than to just tell everybody, well, I'm dying with cancer. But Jane and I were heading up to China Grove. We went there about every Thursday night back in them days. Well, on 152 outside of China Grove to the Anchor House, Fish House. Some of y'all have been there. And I called her and said, she lived on the route there on Old Concord Salisbury Road. We called her and let her know we'd like to come by and just talk to you and pray for you maybe. We went to eat fish before we prayed for her. We didn't think nothing about fasting for 30 days. Now, you know when you fast 30 days, when the Lord says fast 30 days. We went and got our belly full of good fish, and then we stopped by her house. I got out my promise book. I started reading those healing scriptures to her. She's a faithful church person in a denominational church that certain things would frighten. And then when we got time, I got out a bottle of oil out of my pocket, and I said, now, you know this one scripture says when you're sick, if you're called the elders of the church, they'll anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. Now, that's a logos to a lot of people, but once you realize it's for you, once it's your cancer and your scripture, it just became rhema. God just said that to you. And so out of my mouth. And I said, this is what the Bible says. I'm an elder. This is oil. Do you want us to act on this, and you want me to pray for you and anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord? She said, yes, I do. We prayed. And when I prayed, sometimes this comes out of my mouth, and I think it's from the Lord because I don't think it ahead of time. I said, and she needed this. I said, Lord, give her something to encourage her that this isn't working. She was going to Duke the next day, and they were really planning on doing surgery. So she got up there, and she called me from Duke Hospital the next day. She said, I was laying here in the bed, and I just reached over and got the Gideon Bible. I opened it up at random. She said, there was one verse on the page that looked like it got real big. Rhema. And she said, here's what it said. It said, this sickness is not unto death, but that the glory of God may be manifest. And so she grabbed a hold of faith, and that built her faith right there. She heard a rhema. She heard a word of God, and that's something you can fight stand on. So, but anyway, we've all acknowledged that there's times when we've speak to the mountain and it doesn't move. There are times when we express what we desire and we don't get it. You take that, whatever you desire. So some fellow's walking down the street and he sees this fine-looking lady. And he thinks he's a word of faith man. He's heard the tapes, man. He's read the books. Lord, I desire that woman to be my wife. And you said, what things soever I desire, when I, and the Lord says, excuse me, that fellow she's married to ain't going to agree with you. Now, that was going a little far, but you know what? When we just start operating on what I desire, if God gave you all of it, you'd have been dead before now. Because sometimes we get to desiring things that are not what we need to have, you know it? So now we talked about the mountain didn't move for us sometime and all that. Do you think that Jesus ever spoke to a mountain and it didn't move for him? I don't think so. I think when he spoke to a mountain, it moved. I think when he expressed a desire, he got it. So was he, at that time, during those 33 years he was here, was he operating as God or was he operating as a man anointed of God on this earth? The second is the right answer. He was operating as a human being with the same things we have, with the availability of the anointing of God. He had that anointing without measure. He got it when he was 30 years old in the Jordan River. He went to be baptized. He didn't need to be baptized for his sins because he hadn't sinned. But the one advantage to us was he did not have an earthly father, so he did not have a sin nature. But he had the ability to sin if he took a notion to, and we get to wanting stuff sometimes and it'll lead you into sin. He just knew how to take care of that, but he was baptized in water. He said that all, and in that baptism of water, the Holy Spirit came down and he was anointed of God. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went around doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And so he was a man operating with the anointing. You're sitting here in your day and you got an anointing from God on your life, just about everybody, I think. And so we got the same equipment to work with he did, but he's getting his mountains to move and I'm not. He's getting his desires, I'm not. He had something going on that we don't know about. Well, we probably do know, but we'll just be reminded. Here's his secret. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures. Brother Reed, open your Bible up to John 5:19. Tammy, you got your Bible? Open up yours to John chapter 12, verse 49. Read that, John. I'll give you time to find it. Is it in your Bible? It's right there in John. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Pages are stuck together. And you got the microphone there. Read 19 and 20.
John 5:19-20. I'm reading out the New King James Version. It said, then Jesus answered and said unto them, most surely I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but that what he seeth the Father do, for whatsoever he does, the Son also does in like manner.
Was that it? That's 19. Okay. Yep. Man, his pages all stuck together. He hadn't been reading that thing. It's a new Bible, I believe. Yep. I know when somebody puts you on the spot and things don't work okay, verse 20.
Now for the Father loved the Son and showed him all things that he himself does, and he will show his greater work than these that you may marvel.
Okay. Now hand your wife the microphone. What did it say? He said, I don't do anything except I see the Father doing it. I don't see anything. I don't do anything except I see the Father doing it. But John 12:49-50, Tammy.
John 12:49-50. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak.
There you go. Thank you. Jesus said, I don't do anything I don't see the Father doing. I don't say anything except that I've heard the Father's giving it to me to say. His stuff always worked because he had his mouth totally in line with the will and the plan of the Father. One thing I could have gotten me some key points, and I don't know when you get key points for a sermon. It seemed like they always start with P, for me anyway. And I was thinking about promise, the purpose, and the process. And a lot of folks don't understand the process, that there's a process of how things work out. It's not just always one simple answer and you do this. So think about Jesus operated on rhema for every situation he was in. Therefore, he always operated in faith. He was in true faith because faith is a gift from God. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by rhema. Faith comes by hearing what God's saying to you. Now, in whatever that year was back there, 2008, I had thought I retired in Spirit of Faith Ministries, and because I just was having problems, I'd get up here to preach and feel like I was going to pass out and all, and I didn't know what was wrong with me, so I just tell them every week, we need to let me go. And a couple of months later, I went to the doctor and went and just saw my primary care doctor, and I told her my symptoms. He said, I'm going to line you up for them to do a heart cath on you. I didn't like the sound of that. I said, and it wasn't faith, it was fear. I don't want them poking things down in my arteries. So I said, I got to reading up about this, and I said, I found out there's a CT thing they can do that'll give you a pretty good picture. And she said, well, that's a CT calcium score, and she said, it's about $500, and insurance don't pay for it. I said, I'll pay the $500 to keep them from poking things up in my arteries. So I went and had that done. I wasted my $500. I went and had that done, and I had met Leslie. She was working up in Salisbury at that time. I had met her at Porky's in China Grove, and I had ordered me a barbecue salad with a bunch of good old hog meat on top of it. And my phone rang, and I answered it, and it was the doctor herself. It wasn't no nurse. It was the doctor, and I thought, this ain't good. And she said, well, we've got back your pictures there from the CT thing, and she said, buddy, your arteries are full of plaque. And I'm hoping we're going to line you up now, and we're going to have to do the catheter. I hope they can put a couple stents in there, but if not, you're going to need bypass surgery. And when she said that, I heard the voice of God in my spirit say, you're going to need the surgery. That ain't what I wanted to hear, but I heard the voice of the Lord say to me, you're going to need the surgery. And I've shared that testimony before, and somebody said to me, well, why didn't you rebuke that? I said, I ain't used to rebuking God. So what that did was that built faith in me, because that's what's going to have to happen. So that built faith in me to have that surgery. And the morning I was supposed to go to get the catheter done, I was in the bathroom. God hangs out in my bathroom. I don't know about yours. And sometimes I shut the door, he talks to me. And I was getting ready to go, and I prayed a little prayer about it, and I heard myself praying. I said, because I was still kind of in my mind hoping they could do a couple stents. But then I heard myself say in that prayer, I said, Lord, I don't feel good about them putting something in me that you didn't make. So you know what? They wound up putting something in me God made. They took a vein out of my leg and fixed all that stuff. But the fact that I followed and did it the way God was, that was his process for that thing. I don't know why. I don't know why he didn't just make it all disappear and give me a new heart and new arteries and all that stuff, except his process was I needed to have that surgery. I had the surgery because God told me to, so I had it in faith. And they did the surgery. I was in recovery overnight. The next morning, everybody I have ever known of to have heart surgery went to the acute care unit, stayed there 3 or 4 days or a week or whatever with all them machines hooked to you. They moved me out of recovery straight to a regular room. And when they were rolling me down later that day or the next day, whenever, rolling me down past the nurse's desk to go put me in the MRI to make sure we didn't have any leaks. I never thought I'd want an MRI, but if they're going to look and see if I got any leaks, I'm good with it. And it rolling me down, and I heard one of the nurses in the nurse station say, "That's the guy that just had bypass surgery yesterday." So I thought, I'm a prize man. But you know what I was doing? I was operating on God's plan. Amen. Now, we know our friend Dr. Gary Price, who occupied this pulpit for 20 years. When he popped up, that they found out that he had a tumor. So him and Miss Jean were praying. Of course they were praying. They were Word of Faith people. He heard God say to him, "Have the surgery." He heard that. Now, where are you going to put you? If faith comes by hearing from God, where can I apply my faith if he says have the surgery? You can apply it in doing what he said. That's the process. And so we know he had the surgery. I know people that were friends of his, that were good people, faith people. They said to him, "Well, what? Use your faith." He said, "I am using my faith. I'm doing what God said." So the doctors told him, "If you'll have all the chemo and the radiation, we think you can live a year." That was in 2008. He prayed. I prayed again. You know what God said that time? Don't have the treatment. Now, God hadn't said to you that to you yet that I know of. You listen to God. He might tell you to have that treatment. But God said, don't have the treatment. Boy, he had to argue with the doctors. And in the last meeting they had with him, the old radiologist came in there and told him, cancer doctor. I forgot what we call them people. And just sat in the back of the room, and he had a little talk with him, younger doctors, and said, "Let the man do what he thinks he's supposed to do." So he did. That time he did what God said, which was against what the doctors were saying. And instead of living one more year, he lived 16. That's pretty good, right? All right, listening to God. Get that rhema word, the rhema word. God, what's your process here, God? How am I supposed to do it? And I tell you what, you'll get an answer. Might not be right then. Might jump out of the Bible and get you. Might hear a voice from somebody. Might hear a voice. Somebody might get a word today with something you're dealing with. But that mountain right now, you might just hear something. I don't even know what it's to you. So think about Jesus. He said, "I don't do anything except I see the Father doing it." So this guy comes up to him for prayer. Been blind from birth. Been all in life, been blind. He said, I'm trying to get my watch free. It's got all him tied up in my shirt sleeve. I've looked at my watch. You know what that means when the preacher does that. I'm getting there. Means absolutely nothing, by the way. And where in the world was I when I distracted my own self? The man been blind. Comes to Jesus. Jesus is the healer, man. He's the Son of God. He's the anointed one. I'm going to go in there. I'm going to get healed. And Jesus says, "Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I only do what I see the Father doing. You know what I see the Father doing? I'm fixing to spit a big old thing on here on the ground in this dust, and I'm going to stir it up and make some mud, and we're going to rub that spit and dirt in your eyes. And listen, you better know you heard from God if you do that." Don't base your dealing with somebody on what God told somebody else. Jesus knew what God told him. Probably didn't make any sense to Jesus. Father said, "Do this." Showed me to here, do this. He did it, told the blind man, "I go to the pool of Siloam." He's going to have to get some help to get in there. "What you doing here, blind man?" "I came down here to wash this stuff out of my eyes." "Well, how in the world did you get spit and mud in your eyes?" "That man named Jesus. He said that's what I'm supposed to do." He's operating in faith. He could have said, "Now listen, Jesus, I've heard about you. You lay your hands on folks and they get healed just like that. So I'm going to, my desire," you said, "what things soever I desire when I pray. My desire is that you don't have me do all this, that you just lay your hands on me and I'll be healed." He wouldn't have got healed because faith is doing what God said. And faith comes by hearing from God in that particular instruction for you. Jesus always operated on rhema for the situation. Therefore, he always operated in faith, and therefore, he always got good results. He told Peter. Peter said, Lord, Peter had been running around with him all this time. He's seen all the miracles, man. He knows Jesus is just saying it happens. And he said, what are we going to do about tax money? We don't have no money to pay the... I think this was the temple taxes, but it doesn't matter. They needed some money. What are we going to do about that? Jesus said, go fishing. Peter said, no, I ain't going to do that. I read a book. I'm going to confess that I got the money. You're not going to get the money, Peter. Why? Because the Rhema said, go fishing. Why did God tell him to go fishing? Because God had already put Peter's money in a fish's mouth, and it's the one he's going to catch. We got to learn to listen to God. So, we're going now back to Mark 11:23 and 24. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that. Mark 11:23 and 24. And that's number five. We start with 24. And it says, we're looking at the interlinear now. We know the scripture said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe to receive them, and you'll have them. Y'all got that, right? You know where we are. So we're thinking, well, glory to God, whatever I desire, whatever I want, God's going to give it to me. How many of you parents here gave your kids everything they told you they wanted? Them kids would all be dead by now. And so you pull this up in the interlinear, and you can do this when you get home and get your app in your phone or your tablet of Bible Hub and go to that scripture and then click on the little thing where it says INT, that's interlinear. What it says is, In the interlinear translated into English, it says, because of this, I say to you, this is Jesus talking, of course, all things, whatever praying, also you ask, believe that you receive, and it will be to you. The word desire is not in the original language. The word desire is not in the original language. It's not, if you pull it up in the interlinear, you do not find the word desire. And then I looked down through all them bunch of Bible translations I've got, and I found that that word desire is in the King James and about one other translation and not in most of them. So I looked to see what that word, it said, it's a secret here, is I say to you, all things, whatever, praying. And there's a couple of words in the Bible for praying in the New Testament. And one of those words is prosyuke. You can find out how to spell it later. And that's a special kind of prayer. And that's what the word here is when praying. In fact, what it's, I've heard the definition just summarized. Prosyuke is saying back to God what he said to you. There it is. Saying back to God what he's saying to you. That's that kind of praying. What he said to you. Not what he said to that fellow sitting beside you. What he said to you. So I looked that word up, prosyuke, and then it's slide number 7, but they can't see it anyway. And here's what it says. Listen to this. The prefix on that, P-R-O-S, means towards or to exchange. And so properly, it means to, and it's got to do with pray, properly to exchange wishes, to pray. Listen to this. Literally, to interact with the Lord by switching human wishes and ideas, that's yours, for his wishes as he imparts faith to you. That's the kind of praying he's talking about. I get in prayer with God, and God, I'm willing to, I've got, this is what I want, Lord. But I'm willing to swap this out for what you want from me right now. That's the kind of praying we're talking about, Mark 11:24. We can get into more trouble than anything in the world by just getting everything we desire. One thing is we just want everything to be easy and everything. Sometimes God, you know, it's Mission Sunday. Them folks over on the mission field, I tell you what, not even missionaries right now, but even news people are over there broadcast. I mean, news people from here are over in Israel right now where that battle's going on to tell us what's going on. And Lord, a lot of times to get the job done that God's got for you to do, you got to be in a little uncomfortable position for a while. God will tell you to go something. You say, oh, no. But when the word of, when that, it becomes a rhema word to you, what comes with rhema? Faith comes. And you'll know exactly that's what you're going to do. And then I'm going to end up and going to Mark 11, 22. And Jesus answered, see, this precedes 23 and 24. Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. We know that faith is a gift, right? Faith comes from God. So I looked that one up in the interlinear, and I'm not going to try to read it to you. But when it says have faith in God, the interlinear says have faith from God. Now, we all know that we've heard others say, Brother Hagin liked to point this out to us, when it has faith in God, it more so means have the faith of God or the God kind of faith. But this said, the original said, have faith from God. Well, if I get my faith from God, and faith is a gift from God, if I get my faith from God, you know what I'm going to have? I'm going to have the God kind of faith. Because he gave me his kind of faith. He didn't give me no phony faith, just wishing and a praying and a hoping and a thinking it's faith. He gave me real faith that's based on me getting together with him and finding out, Lord, what's my right answer here? What am I supposed to do here? What course of action am I supposed to take? How am I supposed to be able to get this healing? Leslie, my daughter, posted something. It popped up as a memory, actually, on my phone. She posted it about 4 years ago that she had, and back there at least 4 years ago, she had gone to the doctor because she was having a lot of trouble with her knees. And that doctor x-rayed those knees or whatever, however they looked at them. He told her, if you don't, she was whatever age she was then, she wasn't quite her, it wasn't but a few years ahead. He said, if you don't have indeed both knees replaced by the time you're 60 years old, she had already told him when he gave her the diagnosis about what she believed. He said, if you don't have to have both knees replaced by the time you're 60 years old, I'll come to your church. But she posted there that 4 years later. As soon as she got that, she realized that she had gotten slack about believing what she believed and getting her instructions from heaven, and she had got slack about that over years. That knee problem had come creeped up on her, and she had adjusted to it. So she got her a notebook, and she wrote healed knees on that notebook. And every day she would get into prayer and get into word and write down what God said to her about that. And you know what the things he started telling her? He started telling her about exercises she needs to do. He started telling her about, how about checking about what you're eating is causing this problem? And he started telling her, look at this and look at, and it was, and she said in that thing she posted on Facebook, she said, faith is supernatural, but it's also practical. And that's God's process. That's how he wants to do things. You want to quit doing all that hacking and coughing and having all this trouble? I'm not aiming this at anybody in particular, unless it's somebody I love. Quit smoking. Get rid of about, look up any disease in the world, and you've got some of them, and it says about a couple of things is, quit smoking, quit drinking alcohol, and you can get rid of this. So years back, I've had adventures with my blood pressure all through the years. And I was talking to the Lord about it. And I'm about 184 pounds right now. And back then, I was about 224. I will say I had some muscle then I didn't have. But I had some other stuff, too. And I was praying, Lord, I know you need to fix this blood pressure. And I heard that voice. It said, if you lose 20 pounds, your blood pressure will be fine. That's when you want to say, is anybody else up there? But listen, the greatest thing I ever learned about faith is faith comes when you hear from God. It's that God, it's that, he gives you that God kind of faith. He gives you faith, his faith. And then you'll start seeing things and you'll start hearing things from heaven. But you know, one thing is, you got to hear that God's talking to a lot of people and they hadn't learned how to hear God. They don't recognize his voice. Most everybody in this room, if I'd call you on the phone, I don't have to tell you who I am. I just start talking. You know who I am. You know my voice. I'm back when I was on broadcast radio all around here, I'd go in a place to eat and just start talking to somebody over at the other table. Say, are you on radio? Yeah. You Jim Howard? Yeah. And of course, then you know what they said. Well, you sound a lot taller on the radio. But the point is, every Christian, if you don't recognize the voice of God, you better get spending some serious time with him and pay attention to what he's telling you and learn to recognize that was the Lord speaking to me. Amen. And I address that to the folks watching this on the, later on or live right now on the marvels of putting it on your TV screen or your device. You got to be born again or you don't know the Father. Don't know his voice. I told you earlier, if you confess with your mouth, confess the Lordship of Jesus Christ over your life. That requires a surrender and a recognition of you hadn't been living right, but you're going to. You want to and you're going to. Do that and confess the Lordship of Jesus. And number two, faith, believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. Well, that means I believe he died. I believe he died for my sins. I believe he raised from the dead that I might have a new kind of life. I want to encourage you today to make a decision about that. You can do it there right in your home. And then call and tell somebody. Call your mama. Call your children. Say, I just prayed a prayer and I'm going to serve God. So that's my invitation. Anything you're dealing with in life, God's your answer. But you have to know how to hear from him and how to react and how to do what he says. So, Father, we just want to thank you, Lord God, for the word of God that you gave us today. Lord, we know that everybody in this room and everybody watching, you love us. Just like Tammy wouldn't expect any bad gift from her husband, Lord, we know we can trust what you give us and whatever you tell us, whatever you send to us, we can trust it. And that's exactly what faith is. We're going to learn to do it your way, Lord, and we're going to learn to get results. So we thank you for all that. Praise you for it. We bind the power of the devil from working in our lives. Lord, we want to pray again for Israel and what's going on right now, Lord. They've suffered, been under almost battle conditions for years. A few rockets, but now there's been a real attack made on them. And so we join our faith with folks all over this place. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for Israel. We pray for thankful for the leadership they have right now and pray that the people will get behind Mr. Netanyahu and the other leadership and do what needs to be done. And Israel has always been victorious in battle because they listen to you. And we know this is secular culture over there now, and a lot of them don't even know who you are. But that country has got a special place with you, and they're going to listen to you, and you're going to give them the battle plan. You're going to take up the sword with them, Lord, and fight the battle. And like the prime minister said, and they're going to win. And pray that that comes quickly. Pray for these people that have been taken hostage, Lord, especially the youngsters, and every one of them, and they've taken older people and children and everything else as hostages to trade. And we're just praying for that situation, protection for those folks, Lord, in that situation to turn out right. We thank and praise you for it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen.
We appreciate your support. We appreciate you listening. And also, we're always happy to hear from you. Let us know that folks are out there listening and being helped by the ministry. So until next time, this is Jim Howard reminding you that Matthew 6:33 says, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you.